What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Forever Dog.
Listen, bruh. Zombies. The thing I don't like about, I can't say it. I love zombies.
What are you going to say?
What can you say?
Well, no, because it's scary because what I was going to say is that at least some of my favorite zombie movies, like Dawn of the Dead or for instance, 28 Days Later, all start, well, at least I say 28 Days Later, all start from like, it's really bad to say, but it starts from like a rapid cure for something and then it mutates and then people
I love how you're saying it's bad to say. Like, we haven't already talked about that in relation to the current pandemic. Like, oh, we've already said it on the podcast without doing a zombie movie, right?
Like, and also, let's be clear that a cure for something is different than a vaccine. And
yeah,
that happens
cure,
in like two
yeah.
movies.
It happened in 3 to 4. But the thing is usually, and it's always usually like, yeah, look, it is what it is. I'm just saying some of my favorite zombie movies start with like humans trying to rush to fix a thing. And then that goes sideways.
Yeah. But it's because they're trying to sort of, it's the sort of simplest way to, like Night of the Living Dead doesn't acknowledge how it starts. It just mm-hmm. starts. And I don't think Dawn... Also,
I think Dawn of the Dead is the same. It's just like it happens. Like
it just happens.
Like the dead woke up one day.
You know, but like, as more and more zombie movies have been made, people are like, "Oh, I guess we have to. I guess we have to maybe figure out why this might be happening or give some kind of."
And like biological warfare is another popular one that they do. You know,
yeah.
And then there's like a the scientists were trying to create some sort of cure for cancer and. But then the cells mutated and somehow
think low key
infection spread.
I was doing like a deep dark Google on this movie Army, but I think Night of the Living Dead and a couple of the earlier zombie movies that don't touch on like where it came from are supposed to be aliens. Like so like Night of the Living Dead, there's like one of those theories that, it's like literally like George Romero talked about it. It's like, it suggested that what helped cause some of these like breakouts are alien in nature. And even when we get to Army of the Living Dead, it's also suggested early in the movie, if you like freeze frame, it is also started by aliens.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just one of those things. I think like people try to define it in just random ass ways. But I'm ready for the zombie apocalypse, baby. I'm ready.
You're ready?
Cool. It's never going to happen.
I have like, you know, I have non-firearms, but you know, like I have handheld weapons, you know. I got them though, just in case.
Okay, yeah. Just in case.
You know, just in case it happens.
Just in case dead things come back to life.
The thing that annoys me is that no one covers their body correctly. Like no one wears the Kevlar for their necks. No one does any of the stuff that you actually need to survive a zombie apocalypse. Like to me, if zombies broke out, I'm going to have a Kevlar outfit that like covers my arm and then a collar that covers my neck so they can't fucking bite my neck. Most of these movies, people be all just, oh, I'm jacked. I'm going to have my arms all out. No, not if you get bit. Like the thing is, you don't have to die. You have to get bit and you don't have your arm out.
The only time I've ever even really seen that is Shaun of the Dead, right? Like, don't they put themselves...
Because they're smart.
Yeah.
They cover their body because they're smart. Every other zombie movie is like, oh, yeah, I know they can bite. Some even are like, oh, I can get scratched. But like, oh, I'm going to just still be really exposed. But I can have every gun and I can make a gun with a bazooka, but I can't protect my goddamn arm. It don't make sense, y'all.
Right.
It annoys the hell out of me.
They need way more discipline, you know. Somebody should enroll me into the Army of the Dead.
Bray looks like he's frozen, but he's actually just staring off.
Oh, did you guys?
Side.
Sorry, I'm back. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, we did hear what you said.
I don't know if I froze or whatever. All I was just saying that.
No,
like,
you clearly know, some of these people.
They,
of that.
We heard they, you. Oh man, they lack discipline. You know what I mean?
We heard you. We heard you.
Yeah,
you
yeah, exactly. Any... Right. Yeah, you got to sign up for the Army of the Dead.
Bray did a whole bit where he's doing it again. He's
we heard you, dude.
Holding a position and looking off to the side as if his internet froze.
Your head is moving.
At least the last time he clearly blinked.
What do you mean? What? Oh no. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Yeah, my internet. I don't know what's going on.
It's you. You're
right. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. I was just trying to say, like, guys, we need people to take this seriously. And I mean, if Trump was around, you know he'd create an Army of the Dead.
Can we stop this now? Like, I feel like we've done this. Like we've done this three times.
All right, let's start. Yeah, let's start this. Let's start this.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is. Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Is that a goddamn zombie tiger that's crossing the line?
That's crossing say it like the line.
I don't even. Who said it?
I think it
it's
was
that weird guy.
Yeah,
the dude who's the head of security.
Oh, the Trump supporter. He feels that character feels like that character voted for Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like that Got character it. Was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's real. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He's an anti-vaxxer for sure. You know what I'm saying? Like I saw his whole esteem felt that way.
For those of you,
he's an all lives matter kind of guy. You know,
who are listening for the first time. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors, talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And this voice that you're listening to now, who's doing such a wonderful introduction and making you feel kind of, you know, just that warm, tingly, you know, that kind of like, you know, that anticipating feeling you feel right before Christmas morning. Yeah, that's that. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
You know what? I'm going to text your wife, you on this podcast, talking about you're giving people warm, tingly feelings with your voice. And I'm going to see how she responds to that. I just want that to be known that this man said his voice gives people warm, tingly feelings like Christmas morning is what he said. That's what he said out of his mouth. Unprovoked. That's what he thought about and confidently said.
Oh, I was just describing my voice so people could know. Yeah, go ahead.
No, no one cares. Okay. No one wants to be tingled right now, Bray. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Some people might want to be tingled. I mean, I'm not going to, yeah. I don't necessarily agree with everything Bray said, but I think that people might want to feel tingles.
No, stop it, James.
All right, James is on my side.
I'm not saying that I agree with, you know.
This voice right now that you're listening to, that you could not want to listen to, that you can be tingled or not tingled by, or entertained or not entertained by, is that of Jerome Elliott.
And this voice that's making you feel all sorts of other feelings is James the Third.
What other feelings?
Just different ones. The ones that were described.
Frustrated.
No.
Cringed.
Just different ones.
God.
This week, we are reviewing the film Army of the Dead, starring Dave Bautista, Bella Purnell, Ana de... Oh man, I'm so
Ghost.
Pronouncing it.
Dave Bautista and Ghost.
Ana de la Reguera?
I'm bringing up her name right now.
De la Reguera.
Reguera.
There we go. Omari Hardwick. It's just a bunch of other people. Do you guys know any of these actors?
I know
Raul Castillo.
Yo, I've seen him. I've seen him.
I feel like I've seen him too, but in what?
He's in a bunch of shows. He's in I think he was in Riverdale. James, have you watched Riverdale?
Mm-hmm. I know him from Atypical.
Oh yes, he's in Atypical.
That's what I know him from.
He's in two other things.
I'm looking at all this other stuff and I haven't seen any of the other things, but I know him from Atypical. Which is a fun series on Netflix.
Yo, first off,
anyway,
Tig, I was reading, I'm pretty sure y'all read it too.
Tig did
all of her scenes with nobody. Like, she was just digitally
all of her
placed
scenes with
in
nobody. Wait, wasn't she in?
No, so every scene of hers, so that the pedophile dude had her part, filmed everything. So he took him out and digitally placed her in the shots in the movie. So she doesn't, literally there's interviews where Batista's like, I've never met her before. Like,
wait, what?
Yes, dude, it's crazy.
They just superimposed her face?
No,
they
no,
also
into the
do
scene?
So many shots of her, like just her ISO shots of her. They do so many of those too. And I was like, I wonder if she never met any of them. And that's
I thought they were doing that because they were like, look, Tig is funny and we're just gonna put Tig front and center.
No, dude, they had to like literally. I read into it.
Who got recast?
Crystalia. It is when you read about how it went down,
Crystalia,
and how they filmed it. It's so intense because she wasn't really allowed to like veer too much from the script and ad stuff because she was trying to match what already existed. So much so that she talks about how hard it is. I mean, we'll get to a spoiler. The helicopter scene at the end of the movie, she's like, I'm a comedian, not a trained actor. So they're asking me to do all this stuff because I'm flying the plane. Batista's behind me screaming, but I got to react like I know what's happening, but it's nobody with me. So it's me screaming by myself on like a green screen. It's
great.
Fantastic. And also it shows how crappy Joss Whedon's CGI of like Henry Cavill's mustache. I'm like, if this mustache looks this crazy.
Did you just call it Joss Whedon's CGI?
I know. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But I also will say that.
It's, no, it's not.
Yes, it's much easier to replace an entire head than it is to make a mustache disappear off of a face. And
they replace a human, not just her head, her physical
I know,
presence.
But it's easier. But it's easy. I'm not that I'm a VFX artist, but I'm pretty sure it's easier to replace a whole thing than to replace like just a part of a thing on a moving face.
I don't know, man. Like, honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Also, like, that mustache looked bad, but it wasn't super distracting. Yeah. I mean, they did a great job. Like,
whatever. It was very close. Mustache. It was the beginning. It was like the first scene. It just, it was, it was weird because it was literally the first scene in the movie and it was like, you know. Yeah, but all of the de-aging makeup, the de-aging CGI, ooh, I just smacked my mic. De-aging CGI, I don't think any of it looks good. I maybe with Samuel Jackson and Captain Marvel, yeah. But that's probably the only one. Like, usually I'm looking at it and I'm like, guys, this looks terrible.
Or when I think a lot of the Marvel de-aging is really good. Like, whenever they like Michael Douglas, every time we see him younger, it's like, that looks like Michael Douglas.
To me, you still got to be old. Like, Sam Jackson's, like, was his de-aging was him 40-something, and I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
Right, exactly.
But, like, when you're 15 or some shit, I'm like, no, man.
No, it looks freaking creepy, and especially when they put dead people's faces on bodies. Oh, yeah. That also looks weird and creepy. Anyway, that's crazy that she wasn't in this movie. I also can't... Why was... I mean, it's so weird, because I'm literally like, well, Tig Notaro is just such a better casting choice, so they just lucked out, I guess.
Honestly,
in that sense, they were going to have
they really
Crystal,
did, like, because it's like, she comes in and fully crushes this role in a way that's like, it should have always been her. What were they doing?
Yeah. Also, it was cool to see her be kind of badass. Like, I've never seen her, like, you know, I mean, again, like, we would get into it, but it was just cool to see her, like, have her cigar in every scene and just, like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it because I don't know too much about Tig, to be honest, besides her famous stand-up bit that went big a few years back. So this is like my first real introduction to her.
Did you ever see did you ever see any of her specials?
I only saw the one, not the famous one, but the one when she talked about, what was it? What's the other comedian's name that people don't talk about anymore? Louis. When Louis C.K. and people started posting about it, like, I saw that special, but I never saw anyone after that. And then I feel like, yeah, I don't think I've seen too many projects. This is my first real project from her outside of that one stand-up special. But I liked her a lot. I liked her a lot, man.
What's this movie about, Brain?
Right. Sorry. Yeah, we just got off on a huge tangent. This film, Army of the Dead, by the way, its box office is kind of non-existent because it is a Netflix film, even though it is out there. Netflix doesn't release their numbers. The estimated number for, like, the opening weekend was like $800,000.
I'm a couple of those bucks, baby.
That's real.
I'm $20,000.
Like, $7 million in China, something like that. So, I mean, look, the box office, it just doesn't really exist anymore right now. Just, I mean, it does, but it's, you know, it's dead. Rotten Tomatoes score for Army of the Dead 2021 is 69%, and it has a 75% audience score. Basically, you know, it's a pretty classic zombie story. I guess
interesting, higher audience, lower critics. But I guess maybe that makes sense because of the.
I think that makes sense for
because
this.
It's a like a horror, a zombie like flashy.
But
horror.
It makes sense for so many reasons that it's Zack Snyder who has like internet fans. It's a zombie. It's a genre film that like audiences typically are going to like more than.
More than critics. Yeah.
But it's also it's not that far apart. 69-75. It's only you know,
this may
not,
be
that's pretty close.
I think they just reported Netflix said this is their most watched original movie ever. It is at this.
I feel like that always happens. Cloverfield was
they
that.
Said this,
then Bird Box was that. Like,
I just looked
like,
at
this
the thing.
One
it's
is
number,
now the
it's
most
number
watched.
Nine. Apparently Extraction is the most watched Netflix original movie, which I've never seen. I forgot what it was even was. And then like Bird Box. And then like there's some other ones like Enola Holmes and whatever. This is like number.
Oh.
This is tied for nine. That's what I read, at least.
I see what you're saying now. I'm looking at IndieWire. Yo, Extraction did that well. I mean, it was a good action movie. Whatever.
I don't think I saw it. I got to see it. You know, again, these things, it's like, yeah, of course, like. Who's not going to watch a blockbuster movie for free on Netflix? You know what I mean?
You know,
like these numbers are like they're like cool, but they're not like they're. It's hard to be that impressed by it because
it's
also
not impressive.
Worldwide.
It's
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not just America. Like that's worldwide, and it's like, yeah. If I'm paying $10 a month for Netflix, and then like a huge movie that they How much did this movie cost?
Between 70 and 90 million, I think.
Damn.
Yeah. They put that much money into a movie and then like there's some stars in it and it's free and I just get to watch it on my couch when I'm bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Anyway, that's where we're at with movies nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so this movie is about a zombie that I guess was created by the government, the U.S. government somehow. It gets released because of a car crash. It gets released into Las Vegas. So Las Vegas becomes this quarantine zone full of zombies. They wall it off. And we have a crew of people who are going in on this mission to retrieve $200 million from a Las Vegas casino. In order to get a cut of that money, and that's that. Okay, initial thoughts. No, I want to start.
Go ahead, brother.
All
right,
brother.
I just gotta say right up top. First of all, I love zombie movies. Okay, there's rarely a zombie movie that I don't like somehow, and that includes this movie because I just the genre of zombies is fun, and it's like even when it's bad it's still somewhat enjoyable because like the stakes are so high. It's just like easy stakes, easy things to put like places in, and then of course the real enemies wind up being each other.
Love that.
That said, I'm so mad that the premise of this movie is contingent on people agreeing to do something that is obviously a suicide mission for the person who does it for the most is only $15 million, and the person who does it for the least is $20,000. Somebody agreed to go into a quarantine zone full of zombies where they could easily die for $20,000. If the money is that low, you need to show me how, one, these people are already suicidal, which I guess some of them were, but like you need to show me that they're all already suicidal, that they want to die anyway, that they don't actually care about the money, or that the money is so desperate. And none of these people have any of those situations. And I'm just like, all you had to do was just up that money so that this premise can be somewhat believable right off the bat. I'm so mad.
Yeah.
I was so...
I feel like it was like them splitting 15 instead of them splitting 10. They could have upped all the money, but like instead of them splitting 10 and then everyone else gets a million or something, you know? But like they didn't even do
that. He also didn't negotiate at all. He's like, it's 200 million. You get
nobody
50. It's like, you ain't going to be like,
no one negotiates.
We get 100. We get half. You ain't going to say none of that, bro.
Everyone immediately agrees to the money. To the amount of money without second guessing it at all.
It's like I was like 200 million. Like first of all, 200 million. This person is doing something illegal, which I still don't even understand how they would ever get away with it. Because if it's restricted airspace, then like what the government's not going to check on the helicopters that are flying out of the zombie zone? What?
But then there were government officials with the dude. At one, remember that when he was like he's gonna do it and he turned around and it was like generals and shit there.
Yeah,
like,
there's like a general. Yeah.
I was like, are we not gonna talk about this?
It made me so mad because I was like, you didn't, this was an unforced error. There's there's no need for it to not be like, dude, there's $1 billion in that safe. If you go retrieve it, you get 500 million. And him splitting up with people being like, okay, I'm going to get 150 million. You're going to get 50 million. You're going to get 20. It's like at that point when we get down to somebody being like, you're going to get 2 million and you have one of the more desperate people being like, I'll do it for 2 million. I'm like, okay, I'm with you on that. But the fact that so many of these people agreed for it for like $500,000 or less, most people, it was $500,000 or less. And the person who's writing this film made $500,000 in 3 months. It's gross. Just like, first of all, you would never do this. You would never do it. It doesn't matter the amount of money. There would be multiple people who would never agree to this mission, no matter what the amount of money is. Not to mention people who already went through the absolute horrific trauma of surviving a zombie apocalypse. For them to go right back in for $15 million, 2 million. I don't know, man. That annoyed me so much. That said, the rest of the movie was kind of fun. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not great, but it was good. Yeah, and and Tignataro was fun, and Guzman was fun. I mean, like, they had, like, it was a cool cast, and they had some really great action scenes. That one woman who gets screwed in the beginning, but she goes out. I mean, that was the coolest. I was like, yeah. I really love that they like, even though she was the first out, they gave her probably the coolest fighting scenes of all of them. Like, she did not go out like a punk.
Even her death, I'm still confused by. I was like, she was right there. So they could start popping people off just to get her to get up. Like, she wasn't scratched.
I know, like, literally none of them,
tried. They did stuff like that in the movie too many times for me.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Just act. Everyone is not like, doing anything.
Like, she, like, not only that, but she was close enough to him. And then also, again, she wasn't bit, and she was still shooting and fighting. So I was like, also, that dude is a sharpshooter. The reason they got him is because of his YouTube videos of shooting, like, four zombies with one bullet.
I know. And he only shot one of the zombies that were on her. And I was like, what? Why aren't you helping? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll get to that, I guess. But anyway,
you want to go or you want me to go?
I can go. I mean, Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorite movies. So I was like super excited to see this.
That's also a Zack Snyder film.
Also a Zack Snyder
movie. The very controversial film, because that's the first running zombie.
Yeah. He was literally like, you know what? What if zombies run now? And then they did. so I was super excited about this movie. I had a really great time for half of it, and then I had a really miserable time for the second half of it. So this feels like more of a criticism or maybe me holding on to my Zack Snyder stuff going into this movie. But I was like, man, why is there like just no hope in this? Like, the movie is like, there's a point where the movie is just fully devoid of hope, and it made me, so I left the theater miserable, but I don't think that the movie itself is like bad, but like my feeling afterwards was like he wanted to punch me in the stomach and then stab me in the stomach and then twist the knife and then punch me in the wound, like then punch me in that wound that he made. And that is what it felt like watching this. I think the cast was really good, and like they have as much fun as they can in the parts of the movie that are supposed to be fun. And like, there's a lot of really cool payoffs. Like, the tiger does exactly what you want the tiger to do.
Yeah,
all of that was so great. And like, Tig's having a great time. You know, it just sort of is like, you know, I just had such a hard time being like, my friends, no, like, why are you doing this to my friends? I love all of these people.
I mean, yeah, is that you, a zombie movie, you expect most, at least 70% of the people to die.
That does not always happen. Like, I just watched, what's the one where they have an encampment? Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead. Mm. Day of the Dead does all the stuff that this movie does, but then ends happy. And it's like, yeah, like that's, you know. Mm. And then even thinking about Dawn, I went back and rewatched Dawn. Like, Dawn, before the credits, ends there's a sad thing that happens, but there's still hope. And then the credits are like, no, all that hope is taken away. But it's the credits. That's after the movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? The movie ends hopeful, you know. So I don't know. I just felt like, I mean, obviously, it's par for the course for some zombie movies.
I mean,
but
this movie is supposed to is supposed to be hopeful in the sense that we have, I guess, technically three survivors.
Oh, did the other girl survive? Sorry, I can't remember. Did the girl she was
That's
in
a great
for?
Question that I actually don't even understand.
I think everyone in the helicopter dies except the daughter. So like,
wait, really?
Yeah. So. She has the money that she can take to help get the kids out, and that becomes the so that
Wait,
so you're
did they
right
show
it does have
those
that.
Bodies.
They show Tig, and I
was like, I couldn't tell if she was actually dead or not.
Also, I was like, how did Tig die from this crash? But this girl,
I was so mad. Anyway, we can talk about when we get to it. I definitely think, I will just in my initial thoughts by saying, I do think that this is more my, I think this is what the movie's supposed to do. Like, this is, right. This is my hangups about, like, I just would have rather had a more hopeful something, you know, than to feel as miserable as I
well, yeah, I get that. It's tough. I mean, this movie does. Okay. So the movie, did you like the start? I mean,
this is my thing. Hold on. Let me see my description. I saw this movie.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
I saw it. No, it's all good. I saw it. It's fine. I don't like it. Like, I like zombie movies a lot. Like, me and my old roommate used to have the zombie survival guide. I used to have a food bar. Like, they're important. And you know what it is? This movie, I felt myself doing something I always get mad at Bray for doing. Was like, I was questioning so much logic in this movie, and I don't do that. Like, that's not a thing that I do.
I'm telling you, it's because the start of this movie is so illogical that you just...
No one does... At no
you just
point.
Immediately start going like, what?
Nothing makes sense, like, legitimately. Like, especially for a person who, for me, Dawn of the Dead was a really good remake. Like, you know, Zach did the running zombies. The running zombies were super controversial until him. Like, he did the running zombies. And I'm watching this movie like, oh, he about to change. It's more shit in the joint. The action zombie movie. Dog, watching this, I cared about none of the characters. It was so many tropes. Batista's daughter, her whole subplot, I didn't need. Oof. I didn't need at all. And then the thing is, it's like they even, I don't know, man. It was like so much stuff where I was like, I thought everybody was kind of going to go out like how that first woman did. And I was like, oh, yes, this movie is different because everyone going in are badasses, so they're not easy to kill. Like, clearly this woman is proven. Right. And she even said her character, she had never killed a zombie. She raised her hand. And I'm like, if this woman who's never killed a zombie is this badass.
Exactly. I know. She never killed a zombie. And she was like, I was like, damn, she's like, bah, 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 bah. Like never. I ain't going out like, I'm not giving up.
And then when the dude was like, oh man, she didn't make it out, and she comes busting through the window, I was like, yo, dude, this is perfect. They can save her, and when they did,
that was the coolest moment in the movie.
But this is my
thing,
she
didn't make
Bray.
It out, and she busts through the window. I was like, hell yes.
But this is my thing. And the movie became such bullshit because you set up these cool moments where you could have been different. And it's like, it's going to kill him anyway. It makes no sense that woman dies there. It makes no sense.
Well, or even if she did die, why would she not? Why would her dying words not be, that nigga betrayed me. He locked me out. He tried to kill me. Why wouldn't she say that?
Yes.
She had plenty of time to say it. He tried to kill me. They would have turned around and shot that dude right away. I mean,
none
like,
of it
or
makes
at
sense,
least,
Bray.
I don't know. It just, it was annoying to have her survive to that point so that she could literally, they were already questioning him, so that she could literally be like him. But yeah, that was annoying.
Like, yeah, and even the only last part about it is when we get to the end, I thought the end was cool, but the end don't even make sense to me. Yo.
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
it makes no sense.
The end makes no sense.
Because my thing is, if Batista, spoiler, turns super fast,
was the problem.
He turned within 5 minutes.
This nigga's on a plane. This nigga walked. This literally ghost walks.
How
he
long
survived.
Did it take him? Right.
How he get out? How did he get out?
Well, here's the thing. Here's my thing.
Yo, I can't.
Well, exactly. I can't. Well, whatever. Let's get to that when we get to that. Because there's so much stuff to question.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day. Or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled
EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips are made from real potatoes from real farms, and they're closer than you might think. Golden grows here on over 100 farms across North America. So whenever you open up a bag of Lay's, you can thank your farmers for making your stay golden moments possible. Lay's, stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
This episode is brought to you by Snickers Ice Cream, the only thing that'll chill you out when you're about to find your zen and your neighbor whips out their new drum set. Made with 100% real peanut butter ice cream, smooth caramel, crunchy peanuts, and covered in a chocolatey coating. When you're out of sorts, Snickers Ice Cream chills you out. Buy it now at your local retailer.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The beginning of this movie is, like, again, it's one of those things where it's just like, guys, Dawn of the Dead proved this. Walking Dead. Even the Walking Dead, like, right, like, you can do zombie movies. You don't have to explain the zombies at all. You mm-hmm. never have to explain mm-hmm. it because yeah. people just accept it, right? It's such a trope, and people are like, oh, it's acceptable. Okay, so I guess that's true in the sense of this movie, in that they didn't explain how the government created a zombie. It's just like, we're supposed to believe that it did. What doesn't mm-hmm. make sense is this car crash. I don't understand why it just right. feels like such an easy thing to do. Guys, it doesn't have to be this complicated. It could have been a freaking animal that comes across you know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to create a car crash that's believable.
It was a guy getting hit. That's what happened.
It was a guy getting hit who just got married in Vegas. That's the only on my rewatch of this beginning. I didn't rewatch the whole movie, but I rewatched the beginning of the movie, and that's the one thing that I was like, I guess I'm okay with this if what we're trying to set up is like Vegas. A slapstick kind of like hokey like. Tongue-in-cheek, like, zombies in Vegas movie, which is what they want you to think this movie is about to be, right? And they kind of throughout, they don't do this as much, but they kind of throughout have kind of like meta commentary on zombie movies and on movies like this throughout. Like, I mean, that, like you were saying, Gerard, of like how they kind of talk about like Area 51 and like maybe we're doing this and like what are we doing and like right, who knows right. what the cause of this is, right? Like, but then the movie that follows doesn't quite, you know what I mean? The movie that follows doesn't quite do all of the stuff that it seems like they're trying to.
Yeah,
to
there's not set. A lot of it. It doesn't feel like it's not Zombieland, you know?
Right. No. Yeah. Yeah. No, and even Zombieland. You know, even Zombieland is more comical than what it feels like they're trying to set up. But like, yeah, it's not it. They don't even do.
This is just an action movie with zombies.
And it was less them. It was less them. It was the. I'm supposed to believe that two army dudes in the middle of the night, when a freaking headlight is shining through the window, aren't going to look. Neither of them, the guy who's driving and the guy who's in the passenger seat, isn't going to be like, what the hell is this headlight? They're not going to see that until the moment before the crash. Guys, I've driven late at night, tired, on a road trip back. You know what I mean? Like, I know what that's like, but you're also...
You're on a convoy, bro.
I can be distracted, but like, There's no way they're that distracted by a converse. First of all, you don't need to look at somebody when you're having a conversation. It's just a dumb thing to do anyway. Like, this person is already super dumb. But it's like, even if you're somehow, for whatever reason, needing to look at this person, there's no way you're so distracted that you're not going to feel the freaking headlights shining through your vehicle.
And these soldiers never, this particularly these guys, never never actually take on the responsibility or the weight of the mission. Like, when the guy, like, after the crash, when the people on the other end are like, get your men out of there, like, she's very urgently like, get your men out of there, get away, get anyone who,
yeah,
anyone
the payload
who can
is
walk,
dangerous,
get them away immediately. What do you want me to do? He's like, so lax.
What do you want me to do?
And then when he finally calls them, he's like, hey, just get away. Like, they want us to get away from
They're
it.
They're in the army transporting an unknown object inside of a locked container.
Yeah.
It's like, even if you don't, obviously none of them should expect that it's a zombie, but like, if recon is telling you this thing is dangerous, how does your army training not immediately kick in and go like, guys, we have to get away from this payload. I don't know what it is, but they said it's dangerous.
Yeah. Also, my thing is,
guys, I guess we're supposed to get away. I don't know.
They have no weapons. This nigga is saying this when he's right next to his truck. His truck still drives. He parked it. His door is open when he's talking to them. And I'm like, nigga, get back in the truck and drive. Like, I was like, why are you running on foot with your friend?
That made no sense.
With your friend who also can't move. Like, she was like, get anyone who can walk. Well, he needed you to carry. Like, he's not even.
Why they didn't go into the car.
You buy
or
the
at least
car.
Attempt to go into the car. It was just like the whole beginning setup. I was like, it's so easy to make this. It's the easiest moment because it's none of them are expecting it. And yet they somehow managed to make all these people the dumbest people on earth. And also, I just can't. I'm just like, I like eventually. The thing that we'll get into is this idea of alpha zombies and this and that, which is like an interesting new idea. But like, even with that explanation later on, I'm still looking back at this first scene and being like, there's a bunch of army guys shooting at this thing and none of them hit this zombie in the head. Like, do they train in the army to aim for the chest? I don't think so. So like, even just on luck, why would none of them hit this guy in the head, emptying machine gun fire into this zombie? And also, I understand that it cannot kill a zombie, but if the machine gun hits a zombie, I don't care how strong it is, it should slow its momentum somewhat. Like, it just doesn't make any, I'm just like,
he's
guys,
a warrior zombie, he don't feel pain.
Yeah, that's the king.
It doesn't have to feel pain, there's just the literal physical impact of a bullet should at least slow its progress.
It's so funny you say that, Bray, because again, the logic doesn't make sense, and I think you're proving it. At certain points, like, a lot of people shoot at this particular zombie, and like later in the movie he wears this like helmet that protects his head,
right?
But other things hit his body, and I'm like, okay, maybe his skin is really impenetrable, so like it bullets are bouncing off his body. But then when Batista shoots him in the head, it's like, oh, he's just dead now. And I was like, wait, so was his skin not tougher than everybody else's? Like,
no.
I was so confused. Like, niggas was shooting at him this whole movie.
The whole movie.
And it's like, it wasn't like he was doing the fucking Matrix Jones. I was like, this shit is stupid. Yo, I'm sorry. I am sorry.
I love that this movie tries to contend that if you put a metal mask on your head, that you're going to be bulletproof. A metal mask that covers half of your face.
Not even
nobody
the
gets to shoot him in the
not
eye.
Even the bottom.
Nobody
not
hits
the mouth.
His mouth. It's not even it's just Vegas.
It is like the Phantom of the Opera. Oh my God, James, do you think that's why they did that mask?
It must be, right?
Like,
the way the mask was shaped.
It looks exactly like Phantom of the Opera. Oh my God. Let's skip.
It did,
like,
it did.
We get further and we see like the flashback.
All right, do you like this montage? Do you like the montage?
Here's the thing. If I'm at a Zack Snyder movie, if I don't see an amazing montage of really fun set pieces that like would be cool if it was the movie itself, but that's fine that it's truncated into 4 minutes with a cool song underneath it, especially Richard Cheese, I'm like, hell, if it's a zombie movie.
Did y'all see him?
I'm on board. I loved this.
Did you peep? Did you peep? If you Sorry, I was in a whole what I like the I enjoy Googling stuff about this movie more than watching it. So in this opening montage, Zack Snyder's in it for like a couple seconds. Just like you can catch him in one of the reflections.
He's in one of the
he's in the movie a couple of times.
I'll let you know I did not catch him in the
I literally was like, all right. And they have robo zombies in here too that you got to look out for.
Listen, Richard Cheese screaming, "Watch out, Elvis!" as the fake Eiffel Tower falls down on a zombie.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Elvis, that's amazing. All of that stuff was so cool. And then the like everyone taking pictures. All of this, I loved this opening. And on my rewatch, I watched through the opening and then I stopped. And then I stopped and
it was. I liked the pictures. I liked them like taking like what looks like a school photo and then showing it the old picture of themselves, like this is what I was before I became a warrior.
Yeah.
Zombie killer.
It took me a while to figure out what that was, because I was like, because it almost felt so meta, and I was like, oh, maybe this is something different in the movie. I was like, oh no, this is just
Like you weren't sure if it was the character or just the actor.
Yeah. I just didn't know what was happening, because I was like, oh yeah, maybe this is like maybe the movie is like a found footage or like a fake documentary about these people. Like I just didn't know. Maybe it was like the story of the heist, and it's like this is who I was, but we never addressed it again. So yeah, I guess yeah, that was cool. Also, Batista wearing glasses with the things behind his head. Every time I see them make a really buff dude feel geeky, I'm like, yo, this nigga is Batista, bro. Like, let this man just be Batista. Like I know.
Was it that they were trying to make him geeky, or were they just trying to, like, you know, maybe he needs glasses and or is in incognito or something?
But I thought the glasses were going to be a big deal. Like, it was some movie. Oh, Bad Boys. Bad Boys. When they're like, Martin, you need glasses. You need glasses. And he's like, I don't need glasses, but he can't shoot. He puts the glasses on. He's like just sniping motherfuckers. So yeah. I thought, oh, these glasses are going to be a thing. Like, it's like, why do you need these? Like something. I thought it was going to be a point to the glasses, because it just looks so out of place for cool. Him. Yeah, I was like,
This is glasses erasure. People sometimes just need to wear glasses.
See, I'm okay
and
with
it's
that.
Not a big plot point.
I'm okay with that. It was just the fact that like the glasses had the little connector thing in the back. It was it just felt so out of place on Batista. I'm sorry. I was like, but you're
I
right.
Liked it.
But you're right. It people wear glasses. You know. Even though if you're gonna go into the zombie apocalypse, you would probably have goggles that are tied to your face that can't come off. This movie
But I will say for a long time doing physical activity because I didn't take care of my glasses. My glasses would just fall off. Do you guys remember the times when my glasses would just...
Yes,
do you guys even remember that?
Yes,
these just fall off all the time. But now, I mean, these glasses are, you know, I take care of them. I get new ones every couple of years. And like, I can do strenuous activity and they will just stay on.
We talk about go bags, right? So Rachel, my partner, wears glasses. And I'm like, hey, man, we're going to have to get you medicated goggles just in case. Like, if you're going to have a go bag, we need to make sure, like, you don't need your contacts. In case your glasses fall off, this thing is strapped to your fucking head so you can see. I don't like movies that don't have... Oh my God, I'm turning into Braylock. The logic doesn't make sense. Like, nothing about the movie makes sense. Like, these people aren't going to survive this. Nigga, Omari has his arms out the whole... People got on tube
tops. Because he got them... Because he jacked.
Here's the thing. When they're doing it in a montage, I don't care. It's like, it's the beginning. And this is that. That's cool. It's fun. Yeah, and he looks jacked. Even if whatever, I mean, yes, I hear what you're saying. It's like it's dumb, but if we're supposed to believe, which I think eventually we are supposed to believe, that this plan, the idea is that they're not expecting to have to kill that many zombies, and they also don't know that alphas exist, even though all of them were in this zombie apocalypse, and there must have been some alphas running around already.
He said they commented on that. He's like they morphed or evolved or something like that, because they hadn't been in for like 5 years or something crazy, right?
Oh, it also might be this too. Just speaking of how fast Batista turns versus how fast Omari turns, like maybe Batista turned so quickly because he was bit by the king, but then Omari was bit by, you know, someone else, like that's a different grade, you know.
We also don't know when he was bit, right? I guess.
When was he bit?
Yeah, you're anyway, right. We don't know. We assume that he was bit before he even went into the
What the, well, I see, I guess so, but that makes no sense. It still doesn't make any sense.
None of it makes sense.
How, none. How, anyway, this montage kind of basically shows that, like, this ragtag group formed within Las Vegas as everyone was dying. And also, I appreciated the, like, jet pilots just dropping bombs kind of indiscriminately on these flocks of zombies, because I feel like that's something they don't do enough of in zombie movies, and maybe they did it a little bit in World War Z, but even then it's not enough. It just feels like I liked the fact that they were able to contain this somehow, like, and it was like, oh yeah, the zombie wars, and it was treated as if like it was like this thing, like this horrible thing that happened, but then everybody else is like going about their day, kind of.
What,
like,
you mean?
It's over now.
Wait, are you talking about, like, because that doesn't exist in like real life. You saying like a very tragic, scary event happened on American soil, and then maybe like a month or two later, people are like, huh, we're fine with it. We don't want to investigate or care about it. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying, yes. Oh. I don't know what you're referring to.
We're not a political podcast. I'm not referring to anything. I'm just
saying there could be a zombie. There can be some sort of insurgency. And
you can't just say insurgency.
No. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
I'm talking about zombies. Yeah.
Because the only reason I stopped it, because Bray, I want you to finish. But Braylock said something very important. Right. I was like, oh man, in this world, which is a fictional world where zombies exist, but in this fictional world, there was a very terrible thing that happened. America forgot about it, and now they're going to blow it up and talk about the fireworks instead.
I don't want to be associated with what it feels like y'all are implying, but only because if we're going to talk about something, we got to talk about it outright, okay? And we got to say exactly what the issue is and what people sleeping on, okay?
That's true. And we're not going to do that.
No, it's not political. We don't do political stuff.
No, but anyway, I don't know. It was kind of fun, and it was like silly how, like, I mean, we saw like the mom and her daughter freaking get killed. And then they get smashed by a freaking container. Yeah. I was like, damn, this movie is ruthless right off the top. Okay, cool. So we get that. So now we're in a world where Las Vegas is there. The zombies have taken it over, and instead of just dropping bombs on it, they decide to drop a nuclear bomb. Why, I don't fully...
A baby nuke.
I guess
it's supposed to be like...
A baby
supposed
nuke.
To be a baby nuke, which I'm like, all right, well...
You know, because you drop one and then it's done instead of having to drop several, you know?
I know, but we have like the mother of all bombs. I don't know. How many of those did they need, would they have need to drop to kill these things?
True.
You can't waste two mother of all bombs.
It just feels like it just felt like you had to drop a nuke anyway, whatever. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. I fully, and especially because it seems like Trump is supposed to be president in this, it's like, yeah, of course Trump would drop a nuke.
Yo, could you like, imagine
you wouldn't hesitate.
Trump would have woke up, the zombies kill him. We wouldn't even have known the zombies were there. We would have heard like, hey, something happened in Las Vegas, it doesn't exist. What?
The funniest line in this movie
think
was
Trump
like,
would have been the reason there was a a payload, a patient zero to begin with, though.
Yes.
You don't think he would have.
Yes, that nigga would have been
you think
excited.
He would have obliterated all of them. He wouldn't have like tried to figure out. He wouldn't have done essentially what's happening in this movie, which is like, we need to figure out how to control this.
So I guess at the end of the day, and this is goes to Gerard's question. I was going to say the funniest line in this movie is when they're like, they're going to drop the bomb on July the 4th because the president thinks it's a pretty cool idea.
Yes. And they mention fireworks. Like, they literally mention, like, the bomb is supposed to make, like, fireworks. And I'm like, this is idiotic, but also not that dumb.
But to Gerard's point, even though the movie never actually connects this, like, really connects this, I guess we can assume that the U.S. Army was working with this.
Because I think they were, from what I'm Googling and stuff, apparently the government is the one who started them. So later on in the movie, when they're running through the casino, there's robot zombies that you can see when they shoot a couple of them, like their eyes.
Actually
robot zombies in the film.
So if you remember,
because there were a couple of times where they killed zombies and it was like an electrical thing. And I was like, what? What is
I
this?
Didn't so, pay enough attention to even clock that.
What's the dude from Atypical? What was his name again? The actor you said?
Raul.
So when he the scene sequence when they're running and he dies, he's shooting people and so is Batista, and they a bunch of the robots are in that scene.
But do they explain what these are?
No. The only reason I even know because
I saw that there was like electrical currents that was running through them, yeah. And I was just like, what is this?
It's
they never explain it.
No.
Wow.
All right, whatever. Guys.
That's so bizarre. Okay. What even is that? Like, what's the point of that? Like, why?
Yeah, what is the point of it? Okay. So then we get the setup. First of all, we get this weird scene with the daughter and her friend.
Don't care.
Gita?
Don't care.
And well, it's just like,
I will say though, it sucks because one thing that I looked up was that the original plot of the movie was like a dad going to save his daughter in a zombie apocalypse. Like that story is just residual from whatever the first draft that Snyder wrote or whatever, you know, like 12 years ago or whatever it was that he, you know, and it's still a part of the movie, but that's sort of reframed as this zombie heist. But like, it's probably only still there because Snyder was like, this is the story.
It's way better for it to be a reveal when they get in there and all of the crew realizes this dude doesn't care about the money. He's just trying to find his daughter.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's just a...
Are you Ocean's 11-ing this movie, Bray, to make it make sense? How dare you make this... That's a fantastic idea. That what you said, that's a fantastic idea.
I didn't like that there's like that whole scene about...
That's a really good idea.
There's just a scene where Anna's like, this isn't about your daughter, is it? And then it's a full scene of them sort of talking about that as an idea instead of it being kind of like a thing where it can be there and we don't know that this is his daughter and like, you know what I mean? Like all kinds of stuff. They could have done all kinds
of
things.
Yeah, instead we get this daughter character who's so unlike, for me personally, I don't know, maybe other people like her.
I was not a fan.
She feels unlikable for me for a few reasons. One, she has the like, just that like essence of white privilege like mm-hmm. around her, like you know, like, and I think they're trying to make some sort of comment on it too, because like, you know, she's a volunteer in these weird camps that they set up, I guess like of refugees from people who lived in Las Vegas, and they're constantly checking on them to see if they're infected, mm-hmm. and the idea is that these people are like kind of like second class citizens now. And which is all interesting. The movie doesn't actually explore it, though. So it's one of those things where it's like, I felt this way about Bright, for instance, where it's like, if you're going to bring this stuff up, you got to go all the way. If not, I actually would rather you not do it, because this movie is not about that. And I don't want real world issues to be like some like candy dressing for your freaking dumb action movie. You know what I mean? Like, I was scared when we watched Watchmen, because I thought that Lindelof was doing that with the Tulsa riot. Like, I thought it was going to be like, I thought it was just going to be like some fun little extra dressing to put on here. And I was like, F you. But then like the whole show kind of wound up being a little bit more about that. And I was like, okay, this is cool. But this movie, it was just like this, the movie's not really about this. Like, they talk about it, but it's not actually about it. We get and the daughter character is already like, she's like, talking back to the guard, you know, at like almost getting her friend into trouble. And I couldn't quite follow. James, you understand exactly what it is. This woman, she needed money to pay off the people to get out of this camp.
That's what it seemed like was happening, you know? And so that's, I think, why the money becomes important later, because they still, even though she's dead, they still end up having the money.
But so now the other question I have, though, is what was her plan for going back inside Las Vegas?
I think to get her, you know, like mm-hmm. if she's still alive.
No, not the daughter. I'm saying
the mom.
Gita.
Oh, because she wanted to try. She was trying to find money.
They were going
to
rob
to go in there just to try to find salvage money.
She said a casino or something like that. I don't think it was I'm not sure which one, but she said there was a way to get money out of there that could change their life or something.
Yeah, and I liked that as an idea because, like, you know, it sort of introduces that this is a thing. It's not just this thing that these eight people are trying to do right
like
now.
Like, people have
you know?
Been going in and out of this place, mm-hmm. risking their lives to try to get something from inside and come out.
Yeah, you know. And it's the looter thing too, right? Of like, well, we got it. It's there.
It's there.
And I need to get out of the situation that I'm in, even if it means I could die, better than what I'm.
Right. The problem is we don't spend enough time with these people to really feel that. We're just told it. And it's like, you know, kind of intellectually, I can go, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But because this person isn't even close to being a main character, I don't care about it. And I don't necessarily believe it because I'm not really spending that much time with it. All of the main characters we spend time with, none of them, all of them clearly are living lives that they don't want to be living necessarily. But there's no reason to believe that any of them like desperately need money. You know what I mean? Yeah. In this way of being like, there's a part of me that's like, it sounds like it's easier to rob a bank than for what you people are about to do.
I don't think anyone's going in for money besides Batista. I think like Omari's going in because he's like, what did he say at the retirement home? Maybe it could be therapeutic or something like that. Like we find out the woman's going in because she wants to have a relationship with Batista.
I mean, I can't. That.
Okay.
That was so annoying.
You know, the locksmith is going in to try to break in the lock that is unbreakable.
Yeah,
The marksman is going in to take YouTube videos.
Just because he thinks it's cool.
He's the only one that like it made sense. I can't even remember what amount they were going to offer him.
He's the only one.
500,000.
Yeah, he's the only one that I'm like, yeah, like, absolutely. Like, what's he? I don't know what he's making on these YouTube videos, but he's like, but whatever he's making on the YouTube videos would go up even more if he's able to get this 500 and go in. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm surrounded by other people with guns. Like, sure. Like, he's already a daredevil, you know? And the kind of back and forth that what they have with the one dude on his crew who's like, you guys are crazy, you're all gonna die. That was like, that made felt the most realistic to me in terms of like people agreeing to do it and like going in for an amount of money that's seemingly not worth it, you know.
It'd be better, should we just hop around and talk about seeing some of these set pieces and like, this movie's like 3 hours.
Yeah, I guess the thing with the money is too, for me, is like, look, you can explain to me that there are a bunch of people who are all crazy enough to do this thing and like, because they kind of have a death wish already. People do stupid, I mean, people freaking, you know, free solo climb, you know, mountains and climb Mount Everest, and you know, people die doing dumb things that I'm like, that's dumb, you're dumb. But so I get that those people exist. It just feels like for a movie, you want to make it feel like, so we, the audience, feel invested and be like, I wouldn't do this, but man, it would. Wow. Like when Tig is like, $2 million would really change my life. It just sounds sad to me because I'm like, $2 million buys you a house and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's all it buys you. And then you have to pay taxes on that house. And then you actually probably can't afford the taxes on your house because you already paid the $2 million for the house. And damn, it's going to be like another 15,000 year in tax. I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like thinking damn, about the real.
You broke down the house. I was like, shit.
And the tax on the money that you just got too, right? Like you get this large sum of money, you need to pay taxes on that money. Like that money.
On that
you
money.
You don't just get
the government's going to ask where you got that from. They're going to take half of it. Like, it's not that much money. It's not going to change your life. It's going to make your life a little bit better, obviously, but it's not what the ideas of what we think of being like, oh my goodness, I never have to work again. I can do this. I can help this people, you know, you're not doing that with $2 million in this economy. All right. Anyway, there was some of that I was like, whatever, but it was cool. We meet all these. Is there anything else we need to say?
Literally, I like when people have backstories and stuff, but something about it, I know they were trying to do it in this movie, but I guess because this movie already started so big, I was like, I don't care. Just get me to Vegas. Like, get these motherfuckers in Vegas. And it's,
yeah.
I will say this. The one thing I did think was really cool was, what was the woman, the jackal or the coyote? The blonde woman who could get them in and
out. Coyote.
The coyote. I did like, honestly, how long the main character survived for. Because, like, normally in some of these movies, they would have got picked off. Like, somebody would have died the moment they... Oh, I guess that dude did.
Yeah.
But he got dragged off, so he didn't die yet.
Right.
But I did like how long people lasted, so he could tell you, like, yeah, man, this is to get a safe passage. They're smarter than you think. You could tell, like, from Batista and them faces, like, oh, wait, what? Yeah, they're out.
And that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Right? The introduction of this. So the idea is that there are zombies that are alphas, mm-hmm. and they're smart, at least smarter than regular zombies. They're clearly not that smart. But they're... they at least have some sort of intelligence.
Zombies intelligence.
Because they're not. I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, these zombies aren't that smart. They're still kind of dumb. But they have enough intelligence to, like, put on a, or at least the one guy does, to put on a metal thing and they can dodge. They dodge, you know, attacks a little bit, and they're stronger and they, you know, faster,
and
I guess.
And they just are sort of have a society. They have a community. They have like a...
Right, and they have a... Right.
There's, you know, some sort of structure to how they interact with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I did like that.
Yeah, like monkeys.
Yeah, like...
No, that's no, like, that's their intelligence level. It's like monkeys.
But you know what it is? When people say monkeys, I don't know why my body automatically just stops and goes, wait, what? Like, I don't know. Like, my body instantly is
I
like...
I also cannot...
my body just reacted to monkeys like, who monkey? Like, I don't... Like, that's not even what you were implying. I just legit had an experience. I don't know.
But I cannot deal with Bray.
That's not at all what you were saying.
Not smart. They're all brain dead. These are brain dead creatures that have somehow figured out how to...
Yeah, I don't get it. But it's cool. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And there was going to be a zombie baby. Whoa.
He
loves a zombie baby, yo.
But I think this way is the coolest way of doing it. You know, I mean, obviously he did it before in
that was a hybrid baby. That was a zombie
which
human
was,
baby.
Yeah, that was cool. But this of like, oh no, they were going to give, one of them was going to give birth to
a
zombie was gonna give birth to a like wow
is
like,
that zombie gonna be able to think
they can procreate?
They should let her live. I was like, you didn't even have to kill this woman. Like, you could have killed like the anyway. We get in there. I don't even know what the hell to talk about in this movie. So much random shit happens.
Well, you know, they kill the they basically shoot the cop in the, she shoots the cop in the leg for the protection, so they drag these alpha zombies drag off this cop that literally nobody cares about because he's been accused of rape and okay.
Yeah,
and so then they drag and he's like, that's not true. And I was like, I actually don't know if it's true. And I mean, obviously he's
a
terrible person.
He's abusive ass.
He's definitely abusive. I was like, I don't know.
Well, we know them zombies got him. We know them zombies got him.
No, I was like, this dude's clearly, I was like, this, I can't wait for him to get whatever's coming to
him. Yeah, yeah.
I love it the whole time. He's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's on the ground.
Anyway.
I do love...
This dude's great. I love this actor. He wasn't in this movie nearly enough, in my opinion.
I remember him from Sons of Anarchy. He was really good in Sons of Anarchy.
What did I see?
Yeah,
what,
I thought he was going to come back and be more of a... like a nemesis, but he didn't really. I mean, he did, but for a hot second, and then he died really easily. I also love that they took two women with Geeta. Like, she went with two other women. I was like, those two women, their whole point was just so that they can die.
But we never even touched on why this zombie would just, like, keep women in particular and eat them one by one. Like,
I think he was keeping everybody. Like, they were capturing people and then just, like, taking people one by one.
And weird once that they turn. This guy,
the ones you
before
like.
They turned those women. So there was like some.
You're right. That makes no sense.
Reason for why
the
they,
logic
you know, like,
of this movie.
But that's fine. That's one of those things that I don't care. It doesn't make sense because that is whatever. But okay, so then right. So then they go in and yeah, this is like the first kind of cool sequence is they're in the Las Vegas casino and they're all these zombies hibernating. And so they throw out these little glow sticks, you know, and they're all talking about how they don't trust this guy, the security dude. And yeah. he winds up trying to screw over this other woman by throwing the glow stick away. And so she follows the wrong path and goes down a path where the zombies are really crouched together. And then they start like some of them start waking up because she's so close to them. And she like keeps killing them with a knife. Just like
favorite scene in the whole movie.
While this was happening, though, I had the opposite feeling that Gerard had. Like, Gerard, you were watching this going, I can't wait to see everyone else also do this. And I was like, I know that they are shooting themselves in the foot right now because she's going to die. And then no one is going to live up to no one's going to come even close to this. And I was already mad. And I was already mad when she first starts. And then she's alive for another 5 minutes.
Yo, like you know what it is, it was because to me the reason it was so cool is because it was, you know, we always see these movies where like the elite, we talked about it with the Michael B. Jordan movie, like Braylock. I remember Braylock, I think you in particular were mentioning like we would have made Michael B.'s survival stronger is if like the other people would have survived a little bit longer. And I'm like, oh, this is dope, right? Because now we finally have a team of elite badasses, and the first person to die is putting up a hell of a fight. So the rest of these motherfuckers are about to be like, you got to get me. You got to. And no, that did not happen.
Amari, there's even a whole thing where he's like, don't touch my saw. And when I'm like, all right, okay. Cool. We're going to see James, him do something awesome with this saw.
I thought so.
James, I can't. Because you said like a lot of things pay off, but that is the one thing that didn't. And it's so. It was so disappointing, especially because we saw him very briefly use the saw in the montage. And I was like, I can't wait to see this dude use this saw as he goes out. Like, because I was like, this guy's obviously going to die and he's just going to go out in a blaze of glory with this saw. And that's going to be so awesome to see. And we never get to see him use the saw ever.
Yeah. I thought,
and not only that, but like, I was like, how did that woman get the saw? When did he ever relinquish this saw?
I thought the same thing. I was like, wait a second. Also, I was like, first off, zombie rule number one, you wouldn't have that saw. You would have a long saw to get some distance.
You got
to
be too close to them to use that saw.
And that, the thing is, like, that
and
saw
it's heavy.
And it's heavy. It would never save
that big ass saw.
And it makes so much noise. Also, Bray, I'm on your side. I was like, oh, shit. When the big zombie came, I was like, yo, Amari's gonna bring out the saw, maybe try to get him. Dude's gonna turn and get my man Amari with his own saw. I was like, something's gonna go down with the saw.
Yeah.
But he ain't get the
guys,
saw.
Guys, not to jump all the way ahead, but since we're
might
already
as
with
well.
This guy.
What happened?
I just don't understand. In a movie where all you have to do, where we don't really care that much about character or backstory, or heck, we'll even eventually give you a pass on like all of the logic gaps that are in this film. All you have to do is set up some cool fight scenes for our heroes for them to die in. when this dude, his final fight scene is him going, oh, okay, this person, we can't shoot in the head. Okay, so now I'm going to use my bare fists?
Yeah, it made no
he
sense.
He doesn't have a knife?
No. Yo, he ain't trying to shoot
He's
him
just going to go into a fist fight with a zombie?
When he put up his fist, it was like, you know this isn't going to go anywhere.
But also,
I was like, you're not going to win a fist fight. This is the head zombie. You're not going to win a fist fight with a regular, not even a non-alpha zombie. Fist fight?
Agreed.
But the thing that they wanted to pay off here, because they don't pay off other things with him, but the thing that they wanted to happen was they wanted the safe guy to save him because he was the one, like Amari shat on him like the whole time. And so they, you know what I mean? Like that was the thing we get.
Yeah,
I mean, I hated
you could still do
part,
that without having him be so dumb enough to like try to engage in a fist
why
fight.
Why the safe guy getting the save too?
Like he couldn't. He needed to pull. He needed to push it close. He needed to save him
too. Like, can you?
He needed to save him.
He easily could have pulled it close. Yes.
The answer is yes, obviously. He couldn't, because remember, because he,
I will
we
also
saw
say,
him trying
him
to
putting
do
him
it.
In the safe, him putting him in the safe that they multiple times said is uncrackable. I was like, so are you condemning him to a slow death?
Yeah,
I was like, it's better for him to just die from these zombies, dude.
I thought
he's just gonna slowly just die of thirst.
I thought for sure that it was, or even not even slowly die of thirst. He'd suffocate within, you know, who knows how? Like he'd suffocate.
Oh right, suffocate. Yeah, where is he getting air from?
This was another thing that didn't pay off that I thought was like, just don't even say this if you're not gonna do it. Is in the beginning when they first walk into the enclosure and like there's all the like dried out zombies that like that are not dead, they're just dried out, and they're like,
James,
hey, when it rains,
James,
they
you can't
when it rains they come
set
alive
up
for
the fact that if it rains all these zombies will come back to life and then never have it rain. That doesn't make any sense. Don't, you're absolutely right. Don't say it.
Don't say
that they dried out from the sun. What do we need that extra line for? To hope for something that will never come? How dare you? How dare you?
They probably kept it in because they were like, maybe Netflix will give us the extra, you know, couple mil or whatever it takes to animate a couple of those scenes. And they
cut the line out from the final cut.
It was still in the final cut.
Oh my god!
Dude, also,
how do you forget?
Also, there's another piece of logic, and this is very dumb, very minute. But it's like they're still in a place with a bunch of aliens. Money is very heavy. And I'm like, I'm looking at even Omari at the end, like struggling with like the bags. I'm like, what was the exit strategy plan for this? I know it's supposed to be like,
well, that's what I'm saying. This plan from the jump, this plan was seemingly pretty dumb because it was like. They had to carry out, first of all, if they're carrying out $200 million and somebody's cut is, you know, $250,000, you don't think as they're carrying out that money, they're going to go,
what the hell?
How much money is in here?
Exactly.
What's my cut?
Exactly.
I'm getting way more than that.
Hey, yo, give me more money. Gun out. Give me more money.
The fact that no one ever in this movie, ever, not one person ever says, I need more money, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Not one person is like, this person just died. I'm getting 10 million. How much money is actually in here?
And then anyway, when they're running away, Guzman is the only one with bags. He has two bags. And big ass Dave Bautista doesn't have a single bag. He's just running with his one machine gun. And Guzman is still laying out zombies carrying these giant bags. It made me so mad. I didn't understand.
None of them had money.
Batista's girl, I was like, wait, this was so unnecessary.
Okay, that was
like, this is
okay.
So unnecessary.
All right, so this is what I was doing just now. I was fast forwarding through the movie to try to see, because this is another part that we didn't talk about, but I loved this sort of little thing, that this little nod to like, hey, maybe that's us in another timeline.
I love that.
Maybe
that was fun.
That was so cool. And then the key necklace. She's wearing the key necklace. Tig's whole outfit. The person is wearing.
I loved it.
That was
but
great.
It was the point. But I just went back to see if Anna's corpse, if her head was was
twisted.
Fully flipped around. It's not, which is a little upsetting, but also, you know, Tig doesn't die down there anyway, so it's like, you know, this is just, you know, future them. But the fact that like
they're destined to keep doing this,
it does not shy away from, like, they are wearing the same clothes, like the people that they show when they do the matches, it is the same clothes. So they don't care. They're like, it's them. And like, we're just supposed to live with this throwaway thing that they've been doing this forever.
Apparently, it could be a time loop. So much so that apparently Dieter, he has a prequel movie coming out, like with one of the women from like Fast and the Furious. Like there's another movie with him from this world that's coming out. I'm gonna show it to
Wait a minute. A prequel to Army of the Dead with the safe cracker? I hate this.
I fully hate this.
They got an anime coming out.
I don't care about this.
No, Bray, we in it. We in the shit.
Well, I take back everything I just said. I like it as a throwaway thing that we just have to sort of exist in this world where, hey, maybe they've been doing this forever. But
it was just a funny thing to add. It was yeah. But I guess I kind of didn't understand how did Dieter and Omari like how did they get separated from the group? I don't know, like when did that happen?
I don't know.
Why couldn't they get
cuz I was like, wait a minute. Didn't they all come down the same elevator shaft? So how did zombies get past them? And why couldn't they just run over? Like, why were they standing still? Why weren't they running?
Also, how did the zombies know they were in the basement in the first place? There was a whole casino. How did they know they were in the basement?
Because they've been doing this forever on a time
zero.
The zombies have existed throughout.
There's no reason for them to know they were in the basement.
Oh my goodness.
I guess I could say, you know, they were just in the elevator coincidentally, and maybe they heard the gunshots.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? That they just, it was just a coincidence that they were in the elevator?
But they didn't shoot in the basement.
No, they did. Once those zombies came off the elevator, they were
this is another thing that was happening too. I mean, I don't know how the zombies then are like, let me make sure I go down this. I understand these are smarter zombies, but I don't know how they're like, let me go down this elevator to kill these guys.
Yeah,
but at this same time, they were already sawing in one part of they were separated for that reason. Omari and Dieter were by the safe, and then the other three were sawing whatever it was. I can't remember the reason that they were sawing over there, but that was how I knew,
because they're trying to get out.
That was how I, that was the moment that made me upset that he wasn't going to use the saw, because it was like, oh, they're cornered, they're going to die here, we're never going to see him use the,
well, that's what I'm saying. How are they cornered? It didn't make any sense. They were all in the same in the same shaft. Batista was closest to the elevator. These zombies come out. They start shooting at them. And then all of a sudden, they're like, we got to go. And they run that way. And for whatever reason, Dieter and Vanderho like stay behind and wait for the zombies to come through this elevator shaft. It made no sense. Why weren't they running? The separation, it truly made no sense. Anyway, whatever. And then this guy locks him. They use the saw because the guy like used the key card to like lock him in.
Yes, that's why they used the saw, because
when did she get the saw? Yes. I don't know. But whatever. Somehow she had the saw, and so then she saws through, and they get through. You know, black dude gets locked into the safe. Did we see him get bit?
Dude, at no point do I see him get bit, because the thing is, the only person who he deals with is Zeus, the big zombie,
who's just like,
oh, he does deal with the big zombie.
Who's just throwing him, who's just chucking him.
Like, literally, and the thing is, the big zombie ain't even really hitting him. Yeah, he's just throwing this thing.
He's just chucking him into walls.
Then it makes even less sense that it takes him so long to turn, because that's probably who bit him, right? I mean, the thought,
who else could have bit him unless he got bit coming out of the vault,
right?
And if that happened, then there was already still zombies left, and they survived the nuclear apocalypse. I also, when he was coming out of that vault at the end, I was like, he will die in about 24 hours from nuclear radiation. He will 100% die. Like, there's zero chance that dude gets to walk out of the epicenter of a nuclear bomb. I don't care how low it was. That there would 100% be like radiated ash falling on him, and this dude would have cancer.
My thing is, I was just confused on how he got out in the first place. Like, how did you get out of a safe?
I mean, I guess we're supposed to believe that it blew the safe open.
Yeah. Or that it wasn't closed, or that he didn't fully close it. That's
fair. I think like it's easy to believe that he closed it and didn't lock it, and those zombies never tried to get in.
Yeah.
Though they're smart.
Okay. I get that. Because in my mind, I always think like once you close it, it locks. But I think you're right. You have to lock it. All right, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with him surviving nuclear radiation or like somehow. I don't know how he got to a private jet. I don't know how he walked to a private jet.
To a Mustang, and then he drove the Mustang.
He had four bags of money, and he walked, and then he got on a plane. He looked
and then
at himself,
he felt sick.
And then he was like, honestly, the ending of that movie, even though it logically doesn't make sense, I don't mind that because I'm like, what happens now? Like, now I'm intrigued. Now, like, is he about to go and is going to be, like, what happens? I watched the credits.
I think it's probably 28 weeks later at that point, right? Yeah.
Because I watched the credits thinking
where it's just
going to
go into Mexico City.
Yeah, I thought he was going to land, and then like the plane was going to be overrun, and he was going to be like,
"Yeah, I mean, that's what's supposed the sequel is going to be. That's what that would be."
Yeah, or unless he just jumps out the plane and be like, "No, I can't do this to everybody."
I mean, he should kill himself.
No, because he wouldn't have got on. He shouldn't have got on the plane.
I don't understand why Bautista didn't kill himself, and I didn't understand why. There's a lot of people who I was like, why aren't these people killing themselves?
It's Batista's fault. It's all like Batista's daughter. She should have got bit. I'm sorry. She should have got bit.
I do want to just say, because I know we're getting close to wrapping up, that there was a lot of stuff that I said that I would have changed. But I pretty much liked the first 2 hours of this movie, or maybe it's an hour 45 before they start just killing everyone that we've been following for the last a lot of that stuff up until there I was like pretty much on board for, and then the second they just, you know, when you rip so many times, Walking Dead did this too, like where they would just rip someone away from you in an instant. And it's like, I need time to deal with this. You can't just you can't just rip this person away from me and have me look at their head fully turned around or whatever. And like, you can't pull Raul Castillo and like have him get eaten up by, I guess, robot zombies that I didn't even know.
Yeah, those,
like, you can't do this to me. These are my best friends. How dare you? But like, you know, I did like so much of the movie up until that point. And then even this stuff, you know, happens in these movies.
I just hate it that they didn't even know the reason why all these zombies were there and coming after them. Like, they didn't know the reason why their plan got blown to hell.
They don't even know about the guy in the head and that he...
They never found
out. They don't...
And when she pulls out the head,
she tells Batista, and
he doesn't know what the hell is going on.
She mentions it.
He's just like, what? That part of it was annoying to me because it was annoying that like that guy goes and just, they know like he sucks, but he like goes and dies by his own and like they don't know this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like the tension is it's lessened. Like I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because we get to experience as the audience, but we don't go on a journey with our characters because they aren't experiencing this too. Yeah. And I mean, like, I was like so up, like I'm like at this point when the guy goes off and dies, I am so upset because we've already seen two of our best friends get murdered in front of our eyes, or maybe three at this point. But when he got ripped up by that tiger, that scene goes on for way longer than it needs
to.
Loved it. I hated that guy so much for what he did to homegirl, and then everything else he's been doing. It's like don't take off the king zombie's girl. Like, you know that's his girl. Don't take her head. Take somebody else's head, bro.
Yeah.
It's all these other zombies don't nobody care about. Don't take, you know.
The parlay was real. You had a parlay. Like, you had a parlay. Y'all would have been fine. I mean, I will say this. The one good part I did like about this movie, and, you know, maybe there's a Dear Hollywood, but it's like, I do like, I'm looking at the poster. This is mad diverse. From Batista to, like, I mean, it's mainly people of color in this cast, minus... the three white people, I think the daughter may be white. I've been trying to find her race, but it's not listed anywhere. But aside from like the bad guy, the coyote, everyone is like either Black, Latino, Asian. It's like it's a really diverse movie. And I'm like, it's really cool to kind of see that. And they all are badasses. It is a thing of like every single person
in it is a badass. And the white guys are kind of like not the cool ones. Like, one is a bad guy. One is like the dude who doesn't know how to kill a zombie and is like, can I just hit it in the head with a rock? But yeah, I mean, I really like that they did that. And I think that I almost feel like that was very purposeful from Zack Snyder. But that's just, you know.
Yeah, he wanted this to be
I feel like he like looked for it and made it that way. And I'm like, I'm actually like really cool with that. Cause again, it's cool to see Omari and stuff. Like, I don't watch, I never watched, is it called Ghost?
What's Power.
Power. I never watched Power, but I know people love
I never
him.
Watched Power, but I've seen the sequels. But he's not in those.
I don't think he's in those. But no, I was excited to see it. You know, so I do think this was a good step Hollywood-wise when it comes to these kind of blockbusters to like have people of color in it. But so thank you, Hollywood, for that thing, or Zach.
Yeah.
If you, excuse me.
And like, and for as much as I didn't like, you know, that like, I spent so much time with my friends and then I had to like watch literally all of them die. Mm. And it made the movie sort of feel kind of like there was no hope or that there was no point maybe even to what I just watched, you know? I feel like that was the collateral beauty of Army of the Dead. You know, the collateral beauty is that we lost them, you know? We lost them.
Shit is all coming. Bray, can you end this? Bray, can you
the term isn't a thing.
Yeah, but it's, you know, because it's like, you know, when...
That's my problem with it.
Bray, can you end
when they kill Maria, like when they kill Maria instantly.
All right.
Instantly. It's an instant thing.
Bray, he's still going. You just let them go.
The thing is, it's instant. Y'all seen Mare of Easttown?
In the podcast.
I'm not going to do no spoilers, but there's an...
Bray Lockwood, I swear to God.
Well, he's just brought up Mare of Easttown. Now I'm interested.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
I love driving with Uber because I have access to 24/7 live support, which is really great because I like to drive at night. I like to know I have support in the middle of the night or early in the morning. I can chat with a live agent 24/7. As a female driver, I get it. You need to feel protected. And Uber has our back for sure. Uber, earn like a boss. Sign up to earn today at uber.com/boss.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order, and they ship samples to you fast and free.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation. Plus, they're 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know what? In this podcast, we don't rate and review movies based on whether we like them, but based on whether they help the cause of getting more leading black actors in Hollywood. So on the count of three, we're going to raise up our fist, and it's not based on whether we like it. Okay? Bray, like, I can't believe you. I can't believe you.
That was good, Jarrah. He was on a roll.
I want to address this.
See, I was,
so you
thank
know,
you, Bray. See, thank you, Bray, for accepting that and letting me do that,
Bray,
and
I'm
get that and get what I was trying to say across.
He was on a roll. There was some. I was like, oh, maybe there's something to this.
Do you feel justified? Was there something to it, Bray?
I don't know. Mera Vista. I mean,
oh my God.
There it is.
On the count of three. On the count of three, we're gonna raise our fists, and it's gonna be 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Was that the count, or
telling
us what it's going to
be? I'll tell you how it's going to be.
One, two, trace?
Yeah, it's going to be 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, cool.
I don't know
one,
why.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, it was slow. It was slow for Bray. I think Bray was still thinking. It was slow, but it didn't feel like a deliberate slow.
I almost did a palm, and then I was like, I guess it's a fist.
Oh, damn. All right. Well, I gave it it was two black fists.
Leading actors of color, you know, not really leading black actors, but yeah.
You guys are right. Yeah, I should have gave this.
You know, this is a sort of a thing of like.
Nah, I think the palm is fine.
I know we had this whole, I mean, Jarrah said it, of like not being able to tell if in this case, Dave's daughter is mixed race or if she's Caucasian or what it is, but you know, or what you would say, but I think that like the main cast is so diverse that it is as much their identity because we can see them, and then also like not like. It doesn't feel like they're doing Power Rangers, or it doesn't feel like they're doing like, let's tick these diversity boxes. It's just like, this is a like any heist movie. It's a random assortment of people, and they all, you know, happen to be from different places. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because of that, to me, it's a fist. And I love seeing Dave and stuff where he's not, you know, he has to be in all kinds of crazy makeup for Guardians, and it's just good to see him in other stuff.
Yeah, man, I gave it a palm because I don't know. I feel bad now. I think you guys are right. I think I might have judged it based on whether or not I liked it or not, which goes against the whole process of the thing.
But you said yourself, repeated.
It's your fault, okay? Because if you would have said it, I wouldn't have had to say it and think about what my vote was going to be.
I don't know that.
No. It makes all the sense. So...
Okay.
It's your
Here's
fault.
What I'll say that, I mean, I do, I give it a fist for the reasons James said, but the reason I think it's okay it got a palm is that this is one of those things where it's like, I'm not quite sure. This obviously helps, but, you know, like, I don't know if Amari's getting his own movie from this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I guess Guzman got, like, his kid, Raul got, like, I think he might keep getting movies like this, but it's like, will they get Lee's? I don't know. It's yet to be seen. You know, we gotta see. It's like, maybe, and Batista's already a leading actor. Obviously, I don't think this movie helps him any more than all of the Marvel films already did. You know what I mean? So, and he's doing his thing, you know, but it was like, yeah, maybe, you know,
yeah,
we'll see. It's good.
We'll see.
You know, there's a lot of questions. I mean, look, we ripped this film to shreds logic-wise, but I will say, like, I did have fun at certain moments.
Yeah.
You know.
This is a nice entry, I think, to the zombie pantheon. Pantheon?
Yeah.
Of films?
And the alpha thing is in it. It was an interesting thing. I was just like, oh, I wish there was a little, like, I wish you could have explored this just a little bit more if you didn't have to, like, follow all these weird kind of threads. Like, the guy being weird and like him, his ultimately, his thing being like, oh, what they don't care about the money. They care about like getting a sample of a zombie. Yeah. I was like, okay, so he didn't have to follow them into the casino then. Like,
yeah. But the government also has a technology that has them trapped in a time loop.
I just felt like there was, if the government really wanted this, there was such an easier way for them to get one of these alphas on. Like it would have been so easy for them. It kind of didn't make sense, this elaborate plan.
Yeah.
The hardest part about this was getting the money out of the safe. So if that thing didn't matter.
Yeah. Which didn't.
I don't understand. Like it just, like, you could have sent a SEAL team into the here, and they easily could have gotten.
Also, the second he gets the head, it's like, couldn't you just leave. Go back the way you came in? Because clearly,
100%.
This woman knows how to get in and out. She's been doing that. So can't you?
Yeah. Why
to...
do you? What's the charade for? Why do you need? It's like if he actually doesn't care about the money, and it's like, oh no, I guess he does care about the money a little bit. It's like,
but why?
But why? If this thing is going to sell for, I don't know. It just, like, that didn't add up. And that stuff was, like, kind of annoying, you know? Yeah.
Well, we watched 2 hours and, I mean, again, it was a fun watch. It was a fun watch.
It also didn't feel, I saw it in
guys,
the theater
it was
and
Netflix.
It didn't feel like
I watched
two
it on
and a half
couch.
Hours.
Yeah. It moved quick. It was cool.
I don't care.
It was fine.
What else am I doing?
But it existed. So that's what we watched. That's
all right. Well, thank you. so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where we have links to merchandise. We sell things on, you know, like t-shirts and iPhone cases, stuff like that. We also have a link to a defunct Patreon. We don't do new episodes anymore. Just know that. But if you haven't signed up for it, we do have a year's worth of episodes, including a commentary about Watchmen, if you've ever seen that HBO series. So check that out. Also, if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars on iTunes, we will read your review on the air. All right. Well, I think I've read all these reviews, which means you guys need to give us some more reviews.
Yeah.
Get some more 5-star reviews up here.
No, I mean, right. We don't review 4. We review 5. I don't know why. I don't know what's happening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone, for getting that intense over 4 and 5.
Yeah, you can follow me at John Braylock. Man.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. See, I gave my thing a little sound effect too, James. I was like, Twitter and Instagram. I gave myself a little.
I don't quite do a sound effect anymore. I used to do .com, but I don't do that anymore.
I know. I'm saying I gave myself one. All right, well,
I don't really care about this. We'll see you next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.